to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message, Gathering at the Table, from Tracy Walker.
Good morning. All right, I apologize in advance if I get a little coffee through this. I got a little tickly throat, so we're going to see how this goes. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our worship service today and for the message we are about to hear. May these words bring you glory and bless your holy name. We pray that we will hear the good news of this message with open hearts and live lives that glorify you more and more each day. Amen. If you were to do a quick review of the topics that we've covered over the course of the last couple of months, I think you might find a trend. Whether intentional, happy coincidence, or by providence, we've touched on some of the foundational elements of our faith. We've talked about the early church described in the book of Acts and how we could probably all use a reminder once in a while of what a faith community should look like and how we as members of that community should treat one another. We spent 3 weeks dissecting the Lord's Prayer, and we focused on one basic theme, one idea, and that is we need to pray it, not, there you go, okay, we're checking, you know, we want to make sure that the message is getting through. We focused on pray it, not just say it. And we use the Lord's Prayer every single week in our worship service. And we run the risk of just saying the words out of habit and not leaning into the important commitments that we're making by speaking those words. We spent 2 weeks talking about the journey from sin to salvation and the importance of confession and repentance. And these are essential elements that they don't end when we're saved. They're part of the ongoing cycle in our journey of faith. Now, there are several threads that tie these topics together. But the one that I want to point out is these are all things that we might sometimes take for granted. Now, the church, big C, right? The church universal, looks quite a bit different than the church described in the book of Acts, right? We've allowed the world with its culture wars and ideological disagreements to infiltrate and poison our sacred spaces. Instead of the unity that we should feel when we're together, we sense division and conflict. Some of our most revered elements of worship are at risk of becoming stale and losing their ability to lift us up. We come in here each Sunday morning to be lifted up. Amen? Amen. Intentionally or unintentionally, we avoid talking about uncomfortable topics like sin and confession or our own brokenness or shortcomings. We avoid those things. And sadly, sometimes it seems like the church, big C, Church Universal, is more divided than united, despite having Jesus Christ as the essential common denominator within and across denominations. We have Jesus Christ at the middle, and we can still figure out a way to be divided. As I said, I'm referring to the Church Universal and general trends that we see and hear about. I think we're blessed in this place to not feel the conflict, to be united together in what we do. But we here in this room and watching online, we're not immune to the risk of complacency. That's something we have to intentionally work at to avoid. Today we're going to take a look at Holy Communion, Lord's Supper. And this is another integral component of our faith and worship experience. And right or wrong, sometimes we might just take it for granted. It's just something we do each week. And like so many other topics concerning our faith and practices, even discussing communion, believe it or not, can be contentious. There are disagreements about how we take communion and how often, who can participate and who is allowed to preside. Do we use leavened bread or unleavened bread, wine or grape juice? How can something as seemingly simple as a meal intended to honor and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf be made so complicated? And believe me, I'm here to say there are some strong opinions about communion and the mechanics that can easily turn into bitter arguments. And that's sad. This morning I have no interest in going through point by point where we disagree and how communion is practiced. Like many of you, I'm exhausted from constant debates and point-counterpoint conversations. But here's what I believe. I believe that communion is a sacred sacrament and it means so much to each one of us. And when we set aside any differences in the mechanics, we're still left at its core with the table, the Lord's table. Amen? This is where we gather. This is where we come in unity of spirit and mind. It's around the table that we gather to be in the presence of God. Just as is engraved in most tables that you find in the front of sanctuaries everywhere, like ours, we do this in remembrance of Jesus. But I am going to touch on one difference. When you travel from one faith community to another, or from one denomination to another, the one difference that we often see is, what do we call this? And I think it's important to consider the various names, because each one really does accurately describe the essence of what we're doing. When we talk about it here at Ocoee Oaks and across the United Methodist denomination, for the most part, we generally refer to it as communion or Holy Communion. But other names you might come across are the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. So which one's right? Well, actually, all three are valid, and all three refer to the celebration, but they each have just a slightly different connotation. So let's start by talking about the word communion. The definition of the word, if you take away the specific rite that we're practicing, is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So, by definition, when we celebrate Holy Communion, We are sharing a time of intimacy. That's one way we set this meal apart from, let's say, the potluck that we enjoyed last week. We were all together. We were all in fellowship. We were all sharing a meal, right? But communion, the communion meal is approached with a bit more reverence and reflection. The term Eucharist comes from the Greek word Eucharista, or Eucharistia, sorry, which means to give thanks. And in today's scripture, Paul used the word Eucharistius when he wrote in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, and then it continues. And that was referring to Jesus at the Last Supper. So when we're talking about the Eucharist as a sacrament or a rite, we're focusing on the idea of giving thanks. And this name underscores the central theme of gratitude. It's a feast of thanksgiving that invites us to remember and celebrate and respond to the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul also uses the term Last Supper a few verses before what we read this morning. And again, he's differentiating the meal shared in remembrance of Jesus from just the regular meal we might be enjoying at home. In verses 20 and 21, Paul writes, "So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk." Paul is admonishing the Corinthians. He's differentiating between the Lord's Supper and the meals the Corinthians were eating in private. He's suggesting that while some people may be excluded from these private dinners, the Lord's Supper is intended to include everyone, everybody. No one will be left hungry when others are full. The term Lord's Supper highlights the unity of the church. As we partake in the bread and the cup together, we signify our oneness in Christ. It serves as a reminder that regardless of our backgrounds or our denominational affiliations, we are all part of the larger body in Christ. So, if we consider the three common names for this sacrament, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, and Lord's Supper, we might describe it as an intimate meal where all members of the body of Christ are welcome to join together in thanksgiving as we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Sound good? So you see, regardless of what we call this meal, it has a common theme and a purpose across all local and denominational lines. Communion is communion. The Lord's Supper is the Lord's Supper. It shouldn't change. That theme, that thing that ties us all together shouldn't change. And the common place where the meal is shared is at the table. Regardless of the name or the mechanics, the communion meal is usually celebrated with a table serving as a prominent fixture. And the table is more than just a place to set out the elements of the meal. The table represents a gathering place. It's a place where we gather to remember Jesus, to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. We gather to share in Christian fellowship. And we gather to anticipate Jesus' return. And that's what I want to spend the remainder of my time talking about, is why. Why do we gather at the table? Jesus said it twice when he shared the bread and the cup with his closest disciples. They were at the Passover meal, and we know this as the Last Supper. And Jesus said, "This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He later said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So first and foremost, we gather at the Lord's table to remember Jesus. Our focus is on him. He is the reason we're here. The physical breaking of the bread is our way of remembering how Jesus suffered. He was physically beaten by the Roman soldiers, and ultimately, he suffered the most heinous punishment imaginable, crucifixion. We remember the disappointment of his being betrayed by one of the 12 he had personally selected. We remember the anguish as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now the cup and its contents, fermented or not, the fruit of the vine, remind us of Jesus' physical death, his blood poured out as a result of the violent death. We remember that Jesus didn't die of old age. He didn't die of natural causes. He was executed for a crime he didn't commit. And he died for us. He willingly went to the cross. He didn't die a martyr's death. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He accepted the sins of the world, past, present, and future. As we approach the table, we remember our own sins. In the long form of our communion liturgy, the liturgy that's used by the United Methodist Church, we intentionally take a pause so that we have the opportunity to confess our own sins to God and to one another. We remember that through Jesus' sacrifice, we are forgiven for our sins when we confess and repent. We gather at the Lord's table to remember Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, the apostle writes, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We gather at the Lord's table to not only remember Jesus, but to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. If all we did was remember how Jesus suffered for us, then communion would be pretty depressing. But we treat communion as a celebration. We gather at the Lord's table to celebrate being reconciled with God. No longer are we under the old covenant and the old law. God sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we are washed clean for that. We celebrate with glad hearts. And we also stand in awe of the lavish gift God has given us. His invitation to us to come to the table. Our salvation and our seat at the table are the results of grace, not earned and not deserved. A holy gift from a gracious God. So we gather at the Lord's table to celebrate God's forgiveness and space and grace. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 17 says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." We gather at the Lord's table to share in Christian fellowship, not only in fellowship with the risen Christ, but in fellowship with each other. We believe that Christ is present with us as we partake in this meal. We share in fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And we don't eat this meal alone. We share it with one another. Not only does the bread symbolize the body of Christ, it is symbolic of the church, one loaf, because we are one body. Christ lives within each of us, so we're connected. We live in fellowship with one another. And we're also connected with the saints who have gone before us. Today we observe All Saints Sunday, so it's right that we would gather together at the Lord's table today, especially to be in fellowship with all the saints. In many Methodist churches, the celebration of Holy Communion is an integral part of the All Saints Day service. We gather at the Lord's table to share Christian fellowship. And finally, we gather at the Lord's table anticipating Jesus' return, reflecting again on the words of Paul. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In Luke's account of the Last Supper, Jesus tells the disciples gathered, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So while the kingdom of heaven drew closer when Jesus was here among humanity, he foretold that the arrival of the kingdom was not complete. And only after the kingdom comes will he drink again of the fruit of the vine. This is our hope. Jesus will come again. So our celebration of Holy Communion not only looks back in remembrance, but it looks forward to what is yet to come. When we, this community of faith, the Coey Oaks, when we gather at the Lord's table, we do so following the practice of an open table. All believers, regardless of denominational affiliation or church membership, all are invited to gather at the table. By doing so, we model the open arms of Jesus, inviting all to come to him. We acknowledge that we are all members of the larger body of Christ, and we partake in unity. The practice of an open table encourages us to embrace our theological and our denominational differences, while at the same time finding common ground in our shared faith of Jesus Christ. This isn't a Coey Oaks table. This isn't the United Methodist table. This is the Lord's table. Amen. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever we call it as Christians, this is the most sacred thing we can do. It's a remembrance and a celebration. It's a remembrance of the suffering endured and sacrifice Jesus made for us, and it's a celebration of the forgiveness and grace that we're freely offered, not as a result of what we do, but of who God is. It's an opportunity to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and a time to remember the saints who've gone before us. It provides hope for the day Jesus returns and takes us home. And at the core of this table is this table, the Lord's table. And that's where we gather, one in Christ. In a few minutes, we're going to participate and celebrate Holy Communion. And today, I would ask you to think about what we're doing, the remembrance, the celebration. And when you taste the bread and taste the juice, let it flow into you as you remember the holiness of this moment. Amen.